wolf on the hill is never as hungry as the wolf climbing the hill.
Lone wolf is a term commonly used by many people. It means that they used to belong to a group, but left, to become stronger. By thinking and acting alone, the lone wolf acquires superior cunning, agility, imagination, and skills unknown to members of the pack. The lone wolf is independent of and distances itself from the petty differings, expectations, demands, mediocrities, and unfulfilled dreams of other people, groups, or organizations. The lone wolf is often branded as the rebel, for it is the sovereign lone wolf who stands alone in all of his or her glory. You are listening to Lone Wolf Radio, presented and hosted by Tom Metzger. Tom is now broadcasting from a newly relocated and improved bunker in an undisclosed location with internet access across the globe. So sit back, relax, and enjoy another episode on Lone Wolf Radio.
Well, good afternoon, boys and girls. Here we are back in the bunker, right in the newly refurbished and relocated bunker. And the date is the 6th of December, 2017, all day long. Well, like I said yesterday, we got a lot of fires going on out here in Southern California, but they're not very close to us. Too bad, because they all started from a common origin. What does that tell you? Four big fires that originated from one location. But yet on the radio and TV, you don't hear anybody questioning whether this was guerrilla warfare, sabotage, ISIS, or just plain assholes. Nobody's asking that question. That's the first question I would ask. Just like in Las Vegas, the first question I would ask is, did Patton, or whatever his name was, work as a contract agent for the FBI? I think he was. And I think that's what they're trying to hide, because he'd been operating inside these casinos for years. He knew every nook and cranny. He knew every con man. He knew all that stuff. But then he went off the rails. Or was he sent off the rails? Was he a Manchurian candidate? I don't know. I sort of doubt that. But I do think he was a guy who came unraveled, probably due to alcoholism and stress of gambling and so forth. But why don't they ask the FBI? Did he work for you? I mean, even if there was no sinister connection, what's wrong with telling that he... Yeah, we hired him to do jobs. He was spying on the casino owners and all that kind of stuff, because there was crooked operations going on there. There was criminal operations. There was gang operations, like there always is in Vegas. But nobody asked that question. Like, nobody asked why four fires would start at the same point. Four separate fires going in different directions. I would ask those questions, but who am I to know? How could I be any smarter than the average famous but incompetent person? Yeah, like these guys running the FBI now. The head of the FBI and his girlfriend, who's a boy, all that kind of stuff is coming out. It's all coming out, man. It's going to get wilder than a March hare. It's already wilder than a March hare. Oh, well. Chaos is beautiful when it serves our purpose. It served their purpose for a long time, but I think chaos is going to begin serving our purpose. See, some kid on, not kid, but he's old enough to be know what he's doing. He was a Temple University, I believe, and he's come out in the school paper, sponsored by the school paper, saying all whites should be killed and their DNA wiped out from the face of the earth. Isn't that like genocide? Isn't that like, how come they can say that, but anybody else says it down their throat? He didn't even get, he got laid off the paper, but the person who okays the articles, he didn't get fired. It's getting so bad, it's unbelievable. Or maybe so good, because it has to get very, very bad before there's any possibility of anything being very, very good happening. The reporter that's doing a story for, I think, Netflix or somebody, but anyhow, I don't care. Once in a while I do an interview. She is asking me more questions. She asked me, why don't you agree with these ideas to split up into little countries and fiefdoms around the United States, like some outfit up in the Dakotas trying to separate a white enclave? Well, the reason I don't is because it won't work now. It's no possibility of those things working. If you establish anything of any credibility, the feds are going to figure a way of coming in and shutting you down, like Waco or like Randy Evans or like anybody else. They don't want you to have a separate place where you can go. Are you kidding? White people being allowed to have a separate place where they can go, they'll fight it with everything they've got, including F-16s or whatever. Now is simply the time of the lone wolf to think, prepare, design, watch, listen, and don't get sucked into a bunch of right-wing nonsense. Because if there's going to be any way out of here, boys and girls, it's going to be the long, hard way. The long, hard, ultimately bloody way. There's no other way. And if you try to push it, you try to make it go faster, it's not going to happen. You just put yourself out of the game quick. I hate to say it, but you got to learn to think like a lot of the Jews. Clever, conniving, sinister, doing all kinds of conspiratorial things, like I told those skinheads back 20 years ago. Get out of the skinhead thing, get an education, go into various areas of government like the enemy does, and burrow in. And if a lot of them did, that's great. I doubt whether many of them did. But if you're not burrowed in, like we were reading yesterday about the Russian Revolution, if you're not burrowed in like the communist apparatus burrowed in, and they did a damn good job of burrowing into not only Russia, but American society. Remember, the first communist international, the Red International, was held in Indianapolis, Indiana, not Moscow. Yeah, a lot of people don't seem to know that or have read that. At the same time, just a few years later, the KKK was running Indianapolis. Things are a little mixed up there. Interesting. But both radical solutions. That 20s KKK was not one that I would admire. They were mostly political and business oriented. You joined the Klan to get ahead in business, like you did the Masons. The Klan was competing with the Masons back then, and that's what they were doing. If you joined the Klan back then, you'd probably do pretty well in your business. I mentioned it once before. We had a man in my Klan that was 80 years old. He'd been in that Klan, and he told me how they used to do it in San Diego, they'd want to, people need to buy gas, they'd tell a Klansman, only go to a certain guy. And they had Klansmen lined up around the block just buying gas from one guy, and made him pretty wealthy. That's the way that worked. When's the last time you ever saw a bunch of Klansmen or neo-Nazis or whoever lining up behind one businessman and putting him over the top? I was in the TV business for 20, 30, 40 years, and occasionally I'd get a supporter, but not very often, that would actively say, I'm supporting you because of your politics and your racial views. Not very many. So that way of raising money is pretty much out of the question. Sometimes you have to revert to what Stalin did. He went out and robbed the banks. He was very successful in robbing the banks and putting the money in the communist treasury, but he was controlling the treasury. I can understand that. Bob Matthews understood that too. Got to have money to operate. But if you know there's no possible way of putting it over the top right away, there's no use to go out for big money because it just causes you problems. Yeah. Like Bob Matthews and the boys, it wasn't that hard to do to rob a Brinks truck and take in a couple of $3 million. But what do you do with it once you've got it? And how you put it to good use once you've got it? That's the big problem. It seems like robbing a bank is easy. It's getting away that's hard. It's the hard way of getting away. Now, of course, everybody robs the banks with computers. They don't need anything like that. In fact, the banks rob themselves with computers. Look what happened back in 2008, how the banks themselves and the corporations ripped off the whole country. I mean, unabashedly ripped the working people of this country totally off and their houses and everything else, you know. Yeah, things were a lot different back in John Dillinger's day and Pretty Boy Floyd and Joseph Stalin and Trotsky and those guys. A lot different back then. Now what you should do is try to find a place you can grab some Bitcoin. You grab enough Bitcoin, you're going to be all set. But they're up to around over $8,000 a piece. And I remember when it started, they were about $200. I was tempted to get into it. I even talked it over with one of my kids. But nobody ever got excited about it, so I didn't buy any. So that's what happens when you miss the boat. Also, another thing, boys and girls, to remember, revolutions rarely succeed. Most revolutions fail. People always talk about revolution all the time. I hear a lot of these right-wing yahoos talking about revolution. They have no concept of what it takes to have a successful revolution. No concept whatsoever. They're just bullshit artists that are headed for the clink. You've got to be a super-duper fanatic and super-duper clever and smart to pull off a revolution or even a decent civil war. One of the guys I have a lot of admiration for is Zapata, who was not a white man down in Mexico. He was an Indian or a Mongol. He was a great revolutionary and overthrew the government of Mexico once or twice. Him and Pancho Villa worked together. They were so successful that the U.S. government had to send Black Jack Pershing down there with a complete army to chase him around. Now, some people rumor that chasing him around was all about getting troops ready for World War I and going to Europe. So that's all it was. But others say there was a legitimate attempt to catch Pancho Villa and the boys. But you can learn a lot by studying their guerrilla tactics. You can learn a lot. One of my favorite movies, which I've watched many times, I remember showing it once up at Colonel William P. Gale's ranch up in the mountains. They didn't get too interested in it because they weren't white. And I said, that's not the point. The point is their tactics and their ability and their ferocity. But I didn't get too far with the right wing showing him he was a Zapata. But I think you should watch it. It's a black and white film. And also the black and white film, The Day of the Jackal. Not the recent one with the nigger in it. They keep doing remakes, like The Manchurian Candidate, which came out first in black and white, and then they come out with a color one, and it's a colored guy as a hero and all that. Those films are worthless. Worthless. The Day of the Jackal, Viva Zapata, The Manchurian Candidate, those are three of my favorite films of all time. Of course, I can't forget the, I think, one of the best westerns that ever was made, and that is Once Upon a Time in the West. And if anybody out there sort of likes Henry Fonda's acting, that was the best acting role he ever had, playing a bad guy. Well, I got a note from one of our loyal supporters. Hey, TT, one good show that you did on Joseph Paul Franklin was you reading from the Detective Magazine and set out on 7/13/2011 radio show. At least that's the date on this CD that I copied it on. Great information on a great man, and it showed a lot of the mistakes he made. Please play it again on the radio show if you can find it. I'm sure we can find it. I enjoyed doing that show too. Franklin gets very little credit for the bold step he took as an individual lone wolf. Very little credit. And for sure the right-wing leaders never gave him credit. Anytime a guy steps out and does the nasty and succeeds for a time, they condemn him. Just like they condemned Rockwell. They condemn everybody, every leader that takes the bull by the horns, you know? They're always great at having rallies and get-togethers and big speeches. I've been to several of them, many of them myself, and I gave some real fiery speeches, but that doesn't make me a revolutionary. I never stepped out and robbed a train. Joseph Paul Franklin, it's sad how he died by himself as an individual with hardly any support whatsoever. And for those who say he went too far, I will simply say, if you're talking about upheaval and revolution or civil war, he didn't go far enough. A lot of people say, oh my God, you're terrible, you're a terrorist, you're a criminal, we can't have anything to do with you, you make us look bad. Believe me, you look bad already. You've been looking bad for 50 years. You know, they clean up the image on guys in the past who step out and do revolutionary things. They have a bad name for quite a while, but then gradually the name cleans up and they become heroes of their country and so forth. You saw that with Fidel Castro. Hell, he was a horrible, horrible, horrible guy, and still was a horrible guy to a lot of people. But he stepped up and did the deed. He went up in those Sierra Madre mountains and set up a deal and put his guys together and came down out of those mountains and kicked ass. And the worst thing they said, well, he'll never get anywhere. He'll never get Batista. Batista's got all the guns and the money. Well, you saw what happened, didn't you? Whether you like it or not, that commie guy took over, and he ruled until he died. Even Mugabe down there in what used to be White Rhodesia, he ran that country with an iron fist for, 30 years? At least. And people say, oh, how horrible he was. Well, could have been, he should have been, he probably was, but he was a black radical. He was a black fighter. And whether you like it or not, he did it. And And the secret is that no white man had the balls to stand up and get him. There was no James Earl Ray in Rhodesia. There was not even any hardly any James Earl Ray types in South Africa. They just let it go. They let it go and then they cry, "The nigger took it away from us. He took us all our money, man. He's taken our women and everything else. And it ain't right. The United Nations should do something." Fuck the United Nations. Do it yourself. You had a whole crew of army guys in South Africa that could have taken that shit down. They could have had the weapons. The weapons were all around them. They had even atomic bombs. They didn't take anything. They didn't kill anybody. Maybe a couple of people. There was no counter-revolution. They're still talking about it down there. I get a guy who sends me all kinds of shit about what's going on down there. But nothing's changing. There's no overt action. And of course there has to be overt action. Without overt action of a physical type and a bloodletting type, nothing will change. We all bitch and moan. That's part of being a white guy or even a black guy, that bitch and moan, being in the army. If you weren't bitching in the army, you weren't a soldier. But comes a time and a point where you either got to fish or cut bait. You got to plan an operation that has the possibility of succeeding or not. Don't plan something that you have no chance of succeeding, but you can plan for the long range. You can plan for 10 years, 20 years, even 50 years. Bring your kids up thinking against the system. You're going to have a lot more reasons to be against the system than you are now. Just hang on. Every bad luck that comes down to the system is good luck for you. You know, the conservatives all whine, sit in front of their Fox TV, and oh my God, look what they... I watch it every once in a while. In fact, quite a bit, because I'm amused by these chicken shits on Fox TV. They pretend they're right-wingers and all that kind of stuff, and they reveal how rotten the other side is. But their own Attorney General Sessions doesn't do a goddamn thing. He has the power to shut down all this stuff. He has that power, and the Supreme Court would have to come along and try to undo it. But does he do it? He doesn't do a goddamn thing. This Southern warrior that used to put Klansmen in prison, he had no problem doing that. He had no problem desegregating the schools. He had all kinds of guts back then, but he has no guts at all now. Well, anyhow, that's my opinion. If Trump had any balls at all, he would have fired that son of a bitch when he recused himself. Immediately fire him, put somebody in there and get the job done, which shows me that Trump is pretty well going along with the flow. No different. Different face, different talk, same program. But boy, when it comes to overseas battles and getting into wars, oh, we're all for that. God damn that Korea. You know, like North Korea is a big enemy. North Korea, they're starving to death over there. I remember when what's his name? The other asshole president. I'm getting senior dropouts here. He was giving North Korea thousands of tons of food and giving them thousands and thousands of gallons of kerosene for power and everything else. He thought he could convince him to be a nice guy. If you're convinced the guy's not a nice guy, you're not going to change him by being nice to him, you know. If he does something that deserves being nice, sure, be nice to him, give him what he needs. But if he doesn't, fuck him. Get out of the way, boy, you little fat fuck. You know, we don't mess around with that, but I still don't like to see us get into a big war just on the excuse of Trump saying, you know, this guy's fired a couple of 4th of July rockets up in the air, and he's going to wipe out San Francisco soon. That's all horseshit. I wonder if any of you people remember Bill White. He started he started over in the Midwest. Then he went down to, I think, Atlanta or down that way someplace and started a Nazi party. But there was quite a bit of infighting going on there, and I lost track. Anyhow, he wrote me a letter, and I wrote him back. And here's a little bit of the letter he sent me just recently. "Hello, Tom. I received two letters from you today. Thank you for keeping in touch. I agree with you that the courts are not an ideal vehicle for obtaining justice. That's to say it leastly. In fact, they are completely corrupt, and I spend much of my filing and refiling and appealing looking for an honest judge or to inflict so much embarrassment that they have to respond shortly. Slowly, this is working. I have won several big opinions lately. Won my $20 million lawsuit against the United States was green lighted, and I was given an attorney. Two, my $30 million lawsuit against the Seminole County Sheriff's Office reattachment on appeal at the 11th Circuit. Three, I believe two of my court victories have been vacated based on the actual innocence, but I don't have the order yet. And the feds just admitted in my big case that when I was identified by their alleged witness, she didn't mean to identify me exactly. So things are going well. I wish these guys had learned to write better. They write, and usually it's difficult to read. But you are right about the FBI. They were plotting to kill me in 2012, and I left the country just about that time. Of course, that's why they framed me, and they are still lying over and over and over in my court proceedings trying to prevent my release and the release of documents to me. I really do not expect to make it long after I walk out of here, but the dangerous part of free life, and life does not last forever. I can't read that. I largely agree with your Aryan socialist worldview. I don't recall saying much about that, much bad about you. I was going to meet with you in Toledo in 2005, but I recall got called away, probably deliberately destructed by a federal informant. You are gone when I came back, and you came into my radio show once telling me why so peaceful political protest groups can change the government. At the time, I thought that you were wrong. Now I think that you were right. Other than that, I've never talked about you to my knowledge, and if I said some things bad about you, I apologize. I was a little too full of myself and didn't realize the need to be less judgmental of others. Anyways, it's good to hear from you, Tom. Stay in touch. Sincerely, Bill White, P.O. Box 1000, Marion, Illinois, prison." So he learned the hard way. That was quite an uproar while it lasted, I remember that. I never could understand one thing with Bill White. He owned some property, evidently had some money, but he was renting out to blacks. Well, sometimes that could work out, but the minute they find something bad about you, they don't like about you, you're in trouble. And so they were using those black renters of his to set him up as a bad landlord. And I thought that was rather foolish of him to be trapped like that. It made him look more like a slumlord than a white nationalist. And also to try to start a Nazi party in the South, especially in the South, is pretty tough to do. Why don't you pick some not so much uphill battle to start a group, you know? Call it the Southern Magnolia Society or something. Yeah, Glenn Miller took that route in his day. He did a pretty good job for a while. I must say I congratulated him to put that many troops on the street, but it don't last. It sounds good on paper, but it don't last. And then Glenn Miller went completely off the rails, as you've probably read in the newspapers and so forth, shooting up the town and thinking he was shooting Jews and he wasn't. And too bad. I think it partly was alcoholism. I think he was involved quite a bit with drinking and maybe drugs, I don't know. Here's another letter come in here. Dear Brother Tom, this is from prison, from an old time friend of ours who did the best he could to fight off the blacks. Killed one and went to prison for life for nothing really, but we got to give him respect. He was a creator too. Greetings and much respect to you as always. I received two recent mailings. We are like the Roman centurion who stayed at his post as his world was ending by the way of a volcano in the item you provided. Yeah, that's right. The Roman soldier was never tolerated to leave his post, even under the most dire conditions. And so when Mount Suvius erupted, they found these Roman soldiers encased in stone or lava later when they dug them up. Well, I wish I knew a bunch of guys like that. I've been reading the Michael Savage book recently. Couldn't finish, made me sick, nauseous. Although he did call the Southern Poverty Law Center a treasonous anti-American leftist organization. Well, he could be anti-American and anti-leftist organization and not be counted clear out. From my point of view nowadays, he of course did not identify their leadership as Jewish, or detail their operations as being a front for the Israeli Mossad. Well, guess what? That's true. They're going to move the capital of Israel to Jerusalem. That's got to be designed to cause an uproar, cause up killing and more blood in the streets, because that's the capital of the Palestinians. There's no doubt about that in anybody's mind. Shouldn't be. So if the Palestinians want to revert back to the PLO and start hacking away at certain people like they did in, was it Rome, back in the 70s? Well, people are asking for it. I don't think the rank and file Israeli is for this, because the rank and file Israeli is not religious. There's probably more atheists and agnostics in Israel than Jews. Of course not. Michael Savage is a Jew himself, and every bit of his book is propaganda, mostly hoping to divert attention towards the Islamic nations and Islamic terrorism as a worldwide threat, so that the readers might support the Jews running America and the Jews in Israel. See, this guy's in prison, in the deepest, darkest bowels of a southern prison, he's got more sense than almost 80% of the American white people. Savage went so far as to call Israel a Jewish democracy, saying it is much like America in that regard. Yeah, America, the democracy. I know in that movie, The Reds, they said something about America being a democracy. And the star of the show said, "What democracy? What do you mean democracy?" Palmer was raiding political parties and putting socialists in prison and everything else. It's no democracy. Well, I'll go on with the letter. Well, that's true for sure, except to say neither the U.S. or Israel are democracies and never have been. You're right. In fact, no government has ever been a democracy. They're all oligarchies. If you don't know what oligarchy means, look it up in the dictionary. That's what all governments are. They take different forms, have different facades, but they're all ruled by the few. In my opinion, Michael Savage doesn't have enough in common with Alan Berg. He wants him to be more like Alan Berg. In fact, in listening to Alan Berg, he's not near as bad as Savage. Alan Berg was a rabble-rouser, and he didn't like racists, or at least he said he didn't like it. What about others? They hate the Confederate flag. They say it's a symbol of slavery and oppression. Well, it was. It was a symbol of Southern capitalism. Plantation owners, the wealthiest of the South, only a small percentage of the people. And I like the looks of the flag too, but don't say that it's such a symbol of, it's not a symbol of slavery and oppression. Well, I don't know what it was then. I think it was a symbol of oppression of white working people in the South that should have rose up and drove the planters out and turned the South into a agricultural democracy. They would have been making a lot more money than they did. The South degenerated through slavery into the lowest income compared to the North there was. A lot of people don't know that. Up until the time that slavery got really going in the South had the most income, gross national product in the country. Only after slavery did they lose that position. Because slavery is not something that you can really make a large GNP. Yeah, you didn't know that? Well, I got a book about that. And they hate the flag flown by the Union that freed them from slavery and oppression. That's what's funny. You can't make those niggers happy. They're just haters, hypocrites. Just like the Jews complaining mostly for the sake of being seen and heard, like on television. Undermining the authority of any nation where they are because authority punishes rapes and theft. Particularly black and Jewish lifestyle. I wish I had this boy back on the outside. I don't think he'll ever see the light of day. On a personal level, things are still going poorly in regards to promoting my mother's will. He's having a big trouble with his family and trying to keep his mother's finances after she died from him. I project the resolution on it until summer of 2018. Let's see, what else? And maybe you can tell me this. Who is the new Federal Reserve Chairman designee? Is he a Jew? Would he be the first non-Jew ever? Well, there have been other non-Jews that head of the Federal Reserve. They don't make any difference anymore. the non-Jews are just as Jewish as the Jews. Anybody that's been in there has been a rat. They're running it for private companies, of which I tried to explain to people years ago in the American Independent Party. It's not a government-run institution, you idiots. It's a private group of banks, independent banks, incorporated in the different states. I note that Trump made the appointment. Well, that does tell you something, doesn't it? I want to keep up on the Trump appointments in regards to the race and religion of those coming in. Well, it don't make much difference what their race or what their religion is. They're rats and crooks, period. And they're not going to appoint anybody that's an Andrew Jackson kind of guy. Andy Jackson. He knew how to drive the assholes out. Shut down that national bank. Well, gotta go again. Thank you for everything, especially now while everything is so discouraging. I see you in my mind's eye standing there like the centurion Rahoa brother, signed George. Well, I appreciate that, that kind of respect. That sure helps the guy go on. You know, if Germany had gone before the Second World War, if Germany had gone communist, they could have won. They would have won. And the reason for that is because the communists, unfortunately, went to this worldwide thing, tried to spread it. We're going to have a revolt all over the world. And that wasn't what the German workers were interested in. And that's why a massive number of German workers joined the National Socialists. Because they had almost the same program, but it was nationalist. But if the Marxists had stuck to their program and stayed away from this, we got to have the whole world revolt stuff, they could have walked over the industrialists of Germany and taken over. I never hear anybody talking about that. They just talk about them losing, but they don't talk about them losing for why. That's the way that goes. Because the National Socialists were on the ropes at the time that Goebbels went to Berlin and rallied all these leftist socialists over to National Socialism. That's what did it, or Hitler would have been out. He never would have made it. They even borrowed their signs. The National Socialists borrowed the red socialist signs, same, using the same slogans and everything, to take over. That was one of the biggest mistakes, the Russian Reds or the Reds, because the Russian army, whether you believe it or not, was not communicating with the Marxist party in Germany. They were dealing with the German military, directly with the German military. How many right-wingers have you heard talk about that? Yeah, the military and so forth were dealing right from Moscow, directly to these German Wehrmacht people and intelligence. They weren't even working through their own Marxist parties in Germany. So, gives you another little idea what was going on. Raises questions, doesn't it? Well, well, well. Let's do some poetry reading here. I've got a couple of poems that were given to me by Robert Miles. The first one I'm going to read is the one that he wrote himself. It's called The Diamond and the Rose by Robert E. Miles. One time a diamond, one time a rose. Out of life's gardens, one of these grows. One formed by pressures in earth deep below. Hardened by fires so hot no one knows. Yet to one, the diamond was promised and found. treasure were seeking by working in the ground. Another protected by thorns ever sharp. The rose in its beauty adorns angel's harp. To this one, in sweetness, in message is clear. Despite its thorns, it will be held so dear and near. I, one time a diamond, one time a rose, for each of us seeking wherever one goes. One time a diamond, one time a rose, gifts from the ruler, the god our race knows. And that was from Robert Miles. I don't know whether he wrote any more or not. Here's another one. He used a trade name of, not a trade name, but a nickname of Fafnir, F-A-F-N-I-R. It's entitled Begin the Bomber, or Israel Farewell. Oi, Begin the Bomber has blown it again. That's Begin the Bomber has blown it again. Beirut and Baghdad, his bombs did he send. Oi, Begin the Bomber is running loose. Thanks to old Sammy, he's free of the noose. Consider the store in an old city town, making once money, but none is now to be found. Once it has made profit for 33 years, and now it's all the red ink and the owners in tears. Begging the Fagin, that old bomber true, is just beginning to irk them as he does you. Dump it or burn it, sell it if you can, get rid of that loser, that old Israel land. Dump it, you say, but no goyim speaks. Egads, it's the money with which Jewry speaks. Dump it and lose it, but do make a buck. Fire insurance is not just bad luck. The chosen have spoken, their will be done. Red ink was dictated, and the Arabs have won. Cut your losses, make a buck while you can. Let us move on, then to the new promised land. Holocaust make money, you must agree. Look at the flow from poor Germany. Movies and books, TV plays, not new. Holocaust, the end thing, and profit is so true. If numero one was such a sweet play, numero two is a winner, they say. Farewell, old Haifa. Goodbye, Tel Aviv. World Jewry don't need thee, as you know and see. Beachheads are bargains, 3 million or so. All underclass ones, no loss in one blow. True, it's historic, but writers will serve, changing the story with chutzpah and nerve. Khazars together, a wandering crew. Goodbye to a nation, for them that is not new. At the height of their power, when all's in their hand, destroyers then destroy, then their own very own land, or band. All hail to the Begin, the bomber gone wild. Farewell to old Israel, the Khazar's last child. Pretty good, huh? This one's quite interesting. Yeah. This one's called Dark Negra by Carl Attenonator. I don't think that's a real name, but anyhow. They say that the darkies are leaving. They abandoned their old Yankee stand. There for sure is no northern grievance as they head for the old Dixieland. Cotton fields are calling. Banjos and drums sound the beat. Away from the old Arctic winters and back to dust and the heat. Egads, how sweet, delightful to ship these convoys out. sorry, southern cousins. Fair play is just turnabout. Maybe they will keep on going, tracing back their steps and their roots. Maybe they'll board the vessels and don modern sailing suits. Not cotton, but Africa calling. You hear what the drumbeat does proclaim? Africa, Africa calling. Come home again. Soil and the blood are a movement. They foster the trekking in time. Alien ties are removed now. Race calls the tune and the rhyme. Africa, Africa calling. Heed it, you Congoids, and go. Back to the land of your fathers, your homelands, your hearts really know. That's a pretty decent poem there. I have no idea who wrote it.